Right, I am at the Citizens Platform conference in Birmingham at Aston, and with me is Rob Annable. Rob, you're from Axis Designs, you're an architect. You've been talking about data, about digital technology, and about people's homes. So do you want to give me an example of the sort of work you do, how you combine those things?
Sure. So my practice works in the housing sector, and we do a lot of work with consultation, with neighbourhood groups and resident groups. And we've been using digital technology to enrich the conversation we have, to make the proposals we have more open and transparent, both for the clients but also for the residents of a neighbourhood as well, so that we can show them the proposals in a clearer, more informative way, that we can allow them access that information on a 24/7 basis so that they don't have to necessarily come to a formal event. They can view the proposals from their home. It also helps us be more transparent with the local media and the local press about what's happening as well, and that can really foster support in ways that often public sector projects struggle with when a scheme proposal is deemed to be coming from on high, from the man. The feedback that we're able to get, the richness of the feedback, improves our work and makes us deliver better projects in the future.
So specifically, how do you do this? You talked about Stoke, for example.
Yeah. So we've used very basic tools that just used websites built using off-the-shelf web technology or photo galleries and conversation forums. But we've also developed more bespoke examples that have been specific to a neighbourhood, using aerial photography and mapping information that people can mark issues and comment on proposals. The benefits from that have been both the 24/7 aspect that I mentioned before, but also from a data collation point of view. It allows us to collect that information much more quickly over a large neighbourhood than would ordinarily be possible. It widens the demographic as well of people that use it, from different ages and different economic activities too. And we've also developed that more into solutions involving 3D modelling. So there's a more traditional connection there between the way an architect draws, models the proposals it makes, and how it then shows the proposals to the resident. And we found that it creates an opportunity for people to have a better say and be more empowered in their responses because they understand the proposals more clearly.
I think what made people smile as well was that you use a combination of paper and this stuff, because somebody would be listening to this and going, well, that's all very well, but lots of people aren't on the internet, they don't care about it, they don't want to be on the internet. Is that actually circular? Does the paper stuff inform the digital stuff and vice versa?
That's the hope, and that's certainly the direction that I'm trying to take our work in. One of the often forgotten things is that the innovation in the digital production sector in the last few years has really started to realise the opportunity to connect back to publishing techniques, to printing techniques and paper technology, to be able to again widen the scope of the information you deliver and make it more accessible. So we've been using techniques involving a project called Bookleteer, where we can use it during the design process to create sketchbooks and record the way we work, to share that information with the residents, to provide them with paper copies of things to add annotation to and to comment on.
So they can scribble notes and you can feed that back in.
Yeah. And then our ability to scan that information back in, to annotate it over the top, and just share it on a wider audience through a digital platform once again. And the speed and cheapness with which we can do that allows a practice like mine, an SME, to punch above our weight, to deliver projects quickly and cost effectively, so that we're bringing these sorts of services to our clients without extortionate costs over the top. It's just a natural part of the way we work.
We've talked quite a lot about the sort of conversation around places and people talking about them, and you improving your work through doing that, which has behind it something you might call data. But really, when we talk about data, we're thinking about things like how much electricity you're using and that sort of stuff. How useful do you think data about our homes is at the moment and could be?
For me, it's absolutely crucial, because one of the key areas that my practice is involved in naturally is sustainability and energy performance and the national carbon reduction targets we all have to hit. So engaging the residents with their energy usage through digital technology is something that we're trying to do a lot more of. So being more self-aware, self-conscious of how your house is behaving, how your choices are impacting the way the house behaves, and how that then drills down to just the bills and the running costs of a property have been crucial, both for the national good of carbon emission reduction, but also the individual personal benefit of simply just saving money through not spending a lot on your bills.
And what does it mean for government? I imagine a lot of your customers are social landlords or local government or whatever. What does it mean for them if you give an individual householder the power to know what their home is doing?
What it means for them is decentralized asset management. It sounds dangerous like the big society, but it allows people to take better care of their house, to feed back more easily to their landlords about what the property is doing, and that reduces asset management burden on a landlord, can potentially increase the lifespan of a building because the maintenance costs are reduced through catching problems early with simple prosaic things like plumbing. So the sort of two-way relationship in that open data benefits both the user end and the client as well.
And how much of that information should be openly available to all of us, and how much is really somebody's private business?
Yeah, that's a kind of killer question. We've been involved in discussing a lot how the performance data, for example, of a house might be made public, and there's been lots of people discuss the benefits of sort of open competitions between residents and within a street or a neighbourhood. And I think that needs to be just dealt with on a case-by-case basis. There have been some direct examples of community groups really developing some cohesion around that sort of process, where they are being public with their usage data and generating competition and driving down their energy costs and bills because of it as well. But you need to be very mindful about the perils of that openness. And there's been a lot of conversation lately, of course, about crime-related issues with location data. People being aware of exactly what's going in within a house. So really, on a case-by-case basis, I think that should be dealt with.
But the short answer is we haven't decided what we think about this yet.
No, I don't think we have.
Okay, people can follow you on Twitter, at eVersion.
eVersion, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And thank you very much.
Thank you.